Magandang gabi po sa lahat. Ako po si David James Brillantes and I serve as one of the pastoral assistant at the same time enter ng iglesyang ito. Ako po ay isang Negro Sanon and I guess alam po ninyo kasi nga sa tono ng pananalita ko. Mukhang halata naman, di ba? Yung misis ko ay taga Negros din, which is specifically from Bacolod City. Meron po kami isang anak na maliit. And we are expecting another one by God's grace this coming September. There is an old tagline na medyo sikat sa Bacolod or sa Negros na nagsasabi na ang pera daw sa Negros ay pinapala at kinakalikay lang. This is a simple tagline which perhaps reflects the rich soil of Negros when it comes to agriculture. But this become a subject of boastful jokes of Negrosanon, at the same time towards a Negrosanon, which somehow equates yung tagline ito of being tikaldon or hambog kung sa mga Bisaya pa. Or in Tagalog, you will say mayabang. O mayabang or being boastful is one of the issue na kung saan tinakol ni Apostle James. He tackled it in the assembly of Jewish Christians who clearly misused yung kanilang tongue in tearing down each other's. James described the tongue in chapter 3, verse 5, as a small member of the body. Yet, ano sinasabi dyan? Yet it boasts great things. Well, the core problem here is not just the tongue, but what lies inside, which is a prideful heart that precedes with the in a prideful utterance of one's tongue. Nakita po natin at narinig po natin from the previous sermons yung resulta or yung result ng tongue na to, which produces earthly and spiritual demonic wisdom that is full of bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, it steers quarrels, its desires is for worldly things. Now our text tonight closes the issue of pride or the misuse of tongue. James calls the attention of his Jewish brothers and fellow followers in Christ to give attention, give careful attention to their evil speaking towards each other and their presumptuous belief that they have control over their own life. So, they boast in their arrogance. If you are writing tonight, ang main point po natin is ito. Trusting God's sovereignty humbles our perspective in judging and planning. Trusting God's sovereignty humbles our perspective in judging and planning. I have divided this into 2 points and with 2 sub-points each. First point po natin is right judgment. Makikita po natin yan in verses 11 to 12. Meron siyang sub-point na the problem, verse 11, and the solution in verse 12. Right planning, which is our second point. Consider the reality of life in planning, which is in verses 13 to 14, and consider the sovereignty of God in planning. Let's go directly to our first point, right judgment. Sinasabi niya dyan, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Now let's stop there. For us to know, yung sinasabi natin right judgment, let us know first what is the problem behind this. Na sinabi ni Apostle James, after he calls his readers to repent and submit themselves to God because of their unfaithfulness, he now begins with a fresh command. Kanino niya ibinigay ito? Sabi niya, towards his brothers. Now, when he said, brothers, hindi niya sinabi lang ito para sa mga kalalakihan, but he also included itong mga kababaihan. Meaning, they are the one who belongs in a church or in a group. His command is towards ongoing act that is present within the congregation. At ano ito? He said, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Isn't this the boastful use of tongue he mentioned in chapter 3, verse 5? A small member of a body, yet it boasts great things. James is saying here, do not make false accusation or accusations towards or toward your fellow believers. Do not slander them. Stop spreading evil words to one another in the corners of the church, or saying slander or slandering them and tearing down their own personal reputation. To help us understand kung ano ba yung pagkakaiba ng gossip tsaka nung slander na ito, yung gossip po is puro katotohanan, but you hand it into a people or a person who are not concerned. Or ikaw mismo yung wrong person na yan, and from there, kumalat na. While ang slander po is fabricated words against sa kapwa natin, the with an intention to destroy their reputation. Mga kapatid, remember this. As a covenant community, when we slander or speak evil against one another, we are not just tearing the reputation of each other, but above all, we are tearing down God's own reputation or God's name, who calls us to the law of liberty through the gospel of Christ. It is quite interesting nung sinabi ni James in verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Why would James say this? Bakit kaya in-include ito nung sinabi niya sa kanyang mga recipient or Jewish brothers? Why? Because it's obvious that they are not. It's obvious that we are not fleeting or fleeing from the devil. In fact, we are doing what the devils do. We are slandering each other, brothers and sisters. Which is the very meaning ng word na diablos. The devil, the slanderer. Well, my question is, when we are slandering our brothers and sisters in the Lord, whose reputation are we representing? As Apostle Paul raised the same concern when he addressed the Corinthian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, he said, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as I wish. That perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." Apostle Peter echoed the same nung sinabi niya sa 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander." James is calling us to stop a hateful act or hateful evil speaking against one another. Why? Because it brings disunity. It brings quarreling. It brings fighting within the church. Kaya nga yan din yung sinabi niya in chapter 4, verse 1. Anong sinabi niya doon? What causes quarrels and fightings among you? This should not be present in the midst of God's people, mga kapatid. But why is it like this? Is it because of the influence of our worldly desires? Mentioned in chapter 4, verse 2. That is why we slander, because we did not get what we want. We speak evil against a brother or sisters because they fail to acknowledge us. So we slander. Kaya nga sinabi niya rin dyan, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother. Here, James is conveying the idea of Jesus' teaching sa Sermon of the Mount. The apostle is not saying or not prohibiting the act of judging. No. Instead, he is directing us to the truth, how to make a right judgment. If you have your Bible with you, please open with me in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. Or you can follow it along the screen. "Judge not, that you may not judge. For the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." Nakapatid, clearly, Jesus does not forbid yung judgment dito or yung evaluation on criticizing the character of our brothers and sisters. Kasi tama po yan. He even practiced it. But if our judging, if we are criticizing or evaluating our brothers on the basis of our pride, that we are better than them, then the act of judging or evaluating is wrong. What Jesus is trying to say here that is that to be fair and humble when we are making an evaluation sa ating mga kapatid, to evaluate our brothers before ourselves before criticizing ang ating mga kapatid. Right judgment is that a prideful judgment. Being a Christian, o bilang mga Kristiyano, our goal in criticizing the character of our brothers is this, to guide them and to guard them. Guide them not to sin, or guard them not to sin, and guide them for repentance. Ganyan po ang goal natin parate. It's not a prideful judgment. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, even if a person caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual are to restore such a person a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that, ano sinasabi niya dyan? You are not tempted. So that you are not tempted as well. Right judgment is not hypocritical. This is another type of judging that condemns others. But in secret, we are fostering yung tinatawag natin na kasalanan. Example of this is we say to our fellow brother, huwag kang mga lunya, pero ikaw ay nangangalunya. Huwag kang sinungaling, but alam ng asawa mo, alam ng mga anak mo, na tayo ay sinungaling. Huwag kang papetik sa trabaho, pero nakikita ng mga katrabaho natin na panay yung labas natin. That is a hypocritical judgment. Another thing is right judgment is not being self-righteous. Isang example po dito is yung parable ng Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, verse 19. Makikita natin dyan, in verse 9, na sinasabi, He, Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Now, kapatid, let us examine ang ating sarili ngayong gabi. Are we passing judgment towards others in light of our own self-righteousness or self-definition of righteousness? Pero ano ba ang tamang pag-judge? Right judgment is a righteous one and fair. John chapter 7 verse 24 says, do not judge by appearance, superficially, kung ano lang nakikita natin, and arrogantly, but judge with right judgment. We judge not in a hypocrite and self-righteous way, but through the lenses of the Scripture. Sometimes we can hear this from others, or sometimes we are saying this as well. Do not judge me. Do not judge me. Yes, perhaps this line is true in the basis of accusation. But for a covenant community, bilang taong nakipagtipan sa isa't isa, bilang isang iglesia, the gift of having responsibility to judge one another in the light of sound judgment protects our heart to be blinded by sin. It protects our congregation to be stained by deceitful words. It protects our pulpit, God's church, from false doctrine and practices. But what about if the judgment is true? The question is, how do we react then? Do we have a humble heart to recognize it? Or have an arrogant heart to defy it? Brothers and sisters in the Lord, how did we judge our flatmate this week? How did we judge our office mates this week? James continuing saying, to speak against a brother is to speak evil against the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. What does he mean in saying this? When he's saying this, he has the Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16 in his mind, which refers to the law against slander, which leads us to verse 18. Ano ba sinasabi sa verse 18 dyan? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. By which, ito tinawag niya rin na the royal law in verse 8 of chapter 2 ng James. What James is trying to say here is this: to disobey the law by means of evil or sinful act of judging our brothers and sisters in Christ is a way of putting ourselves above the law, above the royal law. If we mean to judge according to the Old Testament law, we will all be condemned sinful or guilty sinful sinners. At alam ng mga recipient ng letter na ito kung ano sinasabi ni James, because they have a high regard in the Old Testament law. Isn't it familiar, mga kapatid, every time that we say, wala kang kwenta. Hindi ka na asenso sa buhay mo. Wala ka ng pag-asang magbago. Talagang mamamatay ka na ganyan. O hindi na kaya baguhin ng Diyos yung puso mo. As if what we are saying is the final verdict kung ano mangyayari sa kanila. As if what we are saying is like a judge who put his final sentence sa tao na yan. The problem here is this: that in our sinful pursuit of self-glorification and to be recognized, we view ourselves above God's law and in exact parallel with God. That instead of loving our brothers and sisters, instead of walking in obedience and in humility sa salita ng Panginoon, we do the opposite thing. We judge and we slander. We undermine the one true judge. Kaya nga James leads us to the solution in verse 12. There is one lawgiver and judge. He is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? This is very clear, mga kapatid. James is directly pointing us to the truth that we are not in par with God. For we are just a sinful, finite, created being who arrogantly act to assume that we are the judge and God over the lives of others. That we have the authority to condemn them. That they are not true Christian according to our own perception of what is right. So James said, there is one lawgiver and judge who is sovereign, all-knowing, God or Creator God, holy and righteous, who alone has the power to either save or to destroy us. Mga kapatid, this calls us to humble ourselves before the true judge, before the one true judge who is able to destroy not only the body, but able to destroy both body and spirit. As people dependent on God's grace, we should not presume to pronounce judgment or any verdict against our brothers based on our own judgment. Isaiah 33, verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our God. The Lord is our King. He will save us. I urge you, dear friends, I urge you to repent from our self-righteous judgment and humble ourselves before the one true judge. Run to Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. Who are you to judge your neighbor? Before we jump in the next verses, let me give you a quick contextual background kung kanino ba ito ina-address si James, yung 13 to 17. Yung church kung saan ina-address ni James itong letter na to is composed of mayayaman at itong mga mahihirap. Now, he addressed those who are rich who has a mentality of self-entitlement. Makikita natin kung paano ni James ina-address yan in chapter 2, where he clearly addressed the issue of the sin of partiality. Now, in our text tonight, specifically in 13 to 17, itong mga businessman na to, or mga mayayaman, thinks that they have full control, not only in the affairs related in making profit, but they think that they have full control in their lives. So James calls them not to plan arrogantly, rather to consider the reality of life in planning. He begins by saying in verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit." James is not saying here na wag tayong magplano. No. Because even the Bible encourages us to plan. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 11. It gives us the wisdom or the example kung paano yung mga ants nagpe-prepare in advance na for their future. Because failure to plan leads to poverty. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5. "The plans of the diligent lead surely abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only poverty." See how diligent planning leads us to profit? We can clearly see here from these passages that there is wisdom in planning. In fact, it is a gift from God. The issue here that James is pointing out is what underlies, again, sa puso ulit na tao. That in planning, we firmly, undoubtedly, with sure conviction, that we have total control over our lives. Over the time, activity, destination, purpose, or even the desired sequence of how our life should unfold. That's how presumptuous we are. Bago ka pumunta ng Dubai, ano ba mga baon mong mga plano sa buhay mo? Ito ba ay para makaipon at para makapagsimula ng negosyo? Ito ba ay tungkol sa tenure na pagstay mo dito, 4 years lang, tapos uuwi na ako? Ito ba ay ari-arian, edukasyon ng mga anak, kaginhawaan ng buhay ng pamilya? Yes? Yes, tama po yan. But the question is, how did we execute it? If this plan or plans takes our time, strength, and devotion with an effort at tuparin itong mga planong ito, no matter what it takes, are we not undermining God's sovereignty sa buhay natin? Are we not then undermining God's sovereignty sa plano natin? Then, are we not acting like this person that James addresses in verse 13? "I need to go," or "I need to work hard kasi para sa pamilya ko to. We need to go to Dubai. We need to find good work in Dubai. Need to earn big in Dubai just to work even late night in Dubai kasi para sa bunso, kasi kay bunso to, o para sa magula ko ito, kasi para sa buhay ko to, kasi para sa pangarap ko to, kasi para sa plano ko to, kasi ako." Kapatid, narinig mo ba ang sarili mo? Try to see how desperate we are, arrogant we are to fulfill our plans and expense of our worship to God. In doing this, we are only showing kung sino yung sinasamba natin, kung sino yung pinagkakatiwalaan natin. Planning is good, but to assume full control of our plan and to spend it in our own passion is a fool. Why? Reality check po tayo. Verse 14. Ano yung sinasabi dyan? "What is your life? And yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears a little time and then vanishes away." I love how James addressed yung arrogance ng tao dito. Yung arrogance that we assume that we have full control of our future, that we know what will happen tomorrow. Sabi niya dito, "Yet you do not know." Mga kaibigan, ni katiting na kung anong mangyayari bukas, eh hindi natin alam. Ni katiting. "For we are not infinite. For we are not God. We are just a finite being who arrogantly thinks and plays as God sa buhay natin." Ano ba ang buhay natin? Yan yung tanong ni James. Look at how James used the analogy of vapor here to compare sa buhay natin. Tulad ng usok sa isang kumukulong sinaing, hubagong buhos na kape sa tasa, the vapor or smoke will be there for a while. But then, eventually, it vanishes away. Do we realize kung ano ang realidad ng buhay dito? Do we see the reality of life here? Life is fragile. We are prone to illness and subject to death. Life is fleeting. Nagkakaedad po tayo. Life is short. Merong isang abbreviated word na sumikat sa mga bagong henerasyon, which I think mirrors how fragile life is. At ang word na ito ay YOLO, or which means you only live once. Which leads us to think then, if life is short, if life is fragile, how am I going to spend it? How are you going to spend it? Are you going to spend it in pursuit of what? Of fame? In pursuit of what? Of wealth? Of a good career? Of a good relationship? Or a bad relationship? Hindi ba ito din yung problema na nakikita ni James? Sa chapter 4, verse 1, verses 1 to 10, kaya nga tinawag niya sila, you adulterous people, because their passion is not for God, but for earthly things. John Piper, in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, had a wonderful reflection sa isang painting na nakasabit sa bahay nila. At ang nakasulat dito ay, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Which led him to this burning question. What would it mean to waste my life? How are we wasting our life, mga kapatid? Paano mo ba pinaplano ang buhay mo in light sa truth na to? That life is fragile. Are we still planning to spend it in our own passion? If not, then the question is, what should be the right way, right heart posture in planning for our future? Verses 15 to 17, sinasabi niya, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. Kapatid, consider God's sovereignty in planning. But the problem is sometimes we have a wrong interpretation ng God's will. We have two extreme interpretation ng God's will. We use God's will sometimes to justify our laziness. Like one tamad. Diba? We lean back. Or sometimes we use God's will to justify our selfish ambition or intention. So we lean hard. Sasabihin natin, ay, God's will to Brad. Kasi meron akong ganito o meron akong ganyan. But at the back of it, nakipag-aaway muna tayo sa asawa natin bago natin makuha yan. Is it God's will? What is God's will is, for us to understand it, anything or everything that causes us to deviate from God's glory is not His will. In fact, kasalanan po yan. God's ultimate will for His elect is this, is for us to conform into the holiness of His Son, or through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and to live for the praise of His great name. So this is the right posture of our heart in planning, sabi ni James. If the Lord wills, we will do this or do that. Do we notice a conditional participle here na ginamit ni James? Yung word na kung in Tagalog, or if. It's just a simple word. simpleng salita lang. But it implies that our ambition, our plans, are entirely dependent or determined by God alone. Na hindi tayo ang may hawak dyan. Hindi tayo ang may hawak sa buhay natin, ni sa plano natin. Isn't it comforting, mga kapatid, that we have an all-knowing God, that we can rely on sa mga plano natin? That we have a God who is sovereign, whom we can trust? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Do we love God's will more than our own? As a person who truly submit to God's will, we will give room to God to change our will and trusting God for that change. Kaya nga, parati nating naririnig dito that bending our will to God's will, not bending God's will to our will. Because the reality is, He will not. We will die on trying, but He will not. Verse 16. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So James exposed our real problem here. It is not on boasting, but it is in the manner or in the act of boasting. That in our pursuit of earthly desire, we are ready to do everything just to have it. Even it means of disobeying God. Mga kapatid, this is a heart issue para sa atin. A prideful man who is passionate in pursuing an earthly desire, we replace God with our gods, with our own gods. We replace God with our desire to have a good life, so we put aside our worship. We put aside our fellowship, and we put aside our service to Him. Friends, guard your heart. Let us guard our hearts. If our hearts would cause us to desire things that are not directed towards God, then ask God to give us courage to quit desiring sa mga bagay na yan. For we will be contending against His holiness, against His righteousness, against His sovereignty sa buhay natin. As John Calvin, a theologian and the father of Reformation, would say, our hearts manufacture other gods. Gods that we presume will save us and will provide for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Kaya nga sinabi ni James in verse 6 of chapter 4, kung naalala natin, ang sabi niya ni James, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Kapatid, saan ka passionate? Saan ka ba passionate ngayon? Is it towards God? Or to His people? Or we are passionate sa makamundong mga bagay? What about sa mga plano natin? Are we trusting or fully dependent to God? Or are we more dependent sa mga kakayahan natin? Do we consider His character as sovereign, all-knowing Lord, as we make our plans? Are we trusting, loving Him, even in unanswered plans and prayers? Are we? Listen to how James concluded this in verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is a sin. Hindi ba tayo ito, mga kapatid? We know exactly kung ano ang tama, pero hindi natin ginagawa. Instead, we boast, we judge, we think that we have the full control sa buhay natin at sa buhay ng iba. We think that we are the gods of our lives, that we are like God. But the bad news is, we are not. And there is nothing in us that can save us from the coming wrath of the one true judge. But in His great mercy, He did not judge us yet. Instead, He sent His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be judged. He was nailed on the cross as a sign for the judgment of our sins. He died, was buried, and resurrected as a proof that the righteous judge accepts the atoning sacrifice made by Christ, so that you and I, an arrogant, boastful, slanderer person, might be reconciled to Him. Brothers, sisters, I urge you, kung wala pa tayong relasyon sa Panginoon, I urge you to repent from your sins and turn to Christ para sa kapatawaran nito. But if you are a Christian, professed Christian, na merong pinofoster, merong inaalaga ang kasalanan sa puso natin, kapatid, please, repent from your sin and be reconciled to God. Trusting God's sovereignty humbles our perspective in judging and planning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that rebukes our arrogant heart, which we think that we have full control of our lives. Patawarin niyo po kami, Ama, those times, Panginoon, that we think that we are the rightful judge to judge others. And instead, O Lord, help us. Help us to be renewed, O Lord, by your word and by trusting your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Allow us, Father, that what we have heard will not just retain in our head, but it will go down, you know, Panginoon, sa aming puso, at the same time, sa aming mga kamay. We thank you and we praise you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.